song, and that last verse says, "His word shall not fail you. He promised. Believe him, and all will be well." And that's really, when you think of it, the theme of what we're going to look at tonight in Joshua 23, and then, Lord willing, next time in Joshua 24. So if you have a Bible, please turn to the book of Joshua, and we'll be in chapter 23. And make sure you have your Bible handy and a pen or a pencil. You're going to help me as we go through this lesson together. While you're turning there, I just wanted to let you know that we do have a sign-up sheet in the church office for our Thanksgiving service pie social right after that. And so Sarah was able to get that out this morning. I want you to be aware that's available. Sarah, are they signing up just to come and let us know what pie they're bringing, something like that? Okay. So looking forward to that. Chapter 23. Last week we looked at chapter 22 and we saw how there was a conflict that arose, and we talked about communication and how we learned how if we would communicate well, we can work well through conflict, or maybe even some of this misunderstanding might not have happened, but we see how God allowed the people of Israel to remain peaceful with one another. They were about to go to war against some tribes because of a misunderstanding, and yet God allowed that to work out well as they treated one another with love and understanding, and they communicated, and so that was a good opportunity for us to glean from that. When we come to chapter 23, we see that it begins with this phrase, "a long time afterward." You ever start reading a good story many, many years ago? Maybe you've seen that in stories. This is kind of like that section, many, many years later, a long time afterward. Now, it doesn't mean this isn't a true story, because sometimes when you hear that, you think, many, many years ago, oh, it's just one of those pretend stories. But this is a real story, real things that happen. And what I'd like to do is, again, your notes, they're all empty. What we're going to see here is that Joshua is going to give an exhortation, almost like his final last will and testament. He's going to challenge the leaders of Israel before he's about to die to remain faithful to God, to remain faithful to his calling for them. And he's going to give them an exhortation of faith. And then in chapter 24, he's going to give one to the entire nation of Israel. This one is focusing, as best we can tell, with the leaders. And what I'd like to do tonight, we're going to start in verse 1, and I'm just going to read through the chapter. It's 16 verses long, and long verses. I'd like to read through that, and then I'd like us to work through and write down, record, and I put the bullet points there. You don't have to use those, all of those, but what does he tell them to do? What does he say? And I'd like us to write down in our own thoughts. We'll take a couple moments and do that after we read. I'll give some more instruction. But let's pray. Let's pray that God would bless our time in his word. We'll read chapter 23, and then we'll try to really unpack a beautiful, powerful last word that Joshua gives to the men who he fought with, the men who some of them now are leaders in the nation of Israel. Father, we pray that as we come to your word tonight, that you will help us to have understanding, to have clarity, to glean good truths and rich truths from your word that are there for us to learn. And we thank you, Lord, that we can always turn our eyes upon Jesus and remember that your word will not fail us. Your promises are always true. And I pray that you'd help us to believe you, trust, and obey you in faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I'm just going to read through. Follow along in your Bibles with me. And along the way, if you see something that really you think is significant, feel free to jot it down or make a mental note and come back there in a couple moments. But let's look at this exhortation and some of the key things that Joshua calls them to do. "A long time afterward, when the Lord had given rest to Israel from all their surrounding enemies, and Joshua was old and well advanced in years, Joshua summoned all Israel, its elders and heads, its judges and officers, and said to them, 'I am now old and well advanced in years, and you have seen all that the Lord your God has done to all these nations for your sake. For it is the Lord your God who has fought for you. Behold, I have allotted to you as an inheritance for your tribes those nations that remain, along with all the nations that I have already cut off, from the Jordan to the great sea in the west. The Lord your God will push them back before you and drive them out of your sight, and you shall possess their land, just as the Lord your God promised you.' Therefore, be very strong to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, turning aside from it neither to the right hand nor to the left, that you may not mix with these nations remaining among you, or make mention of the names of their gods, or swear by them, or serve them, or bow down to them. But you shall cling to the Lord your God, just as you have done to this day. For the Lord has driven out before you great and strong nations. And as for you, no man has been able to stand before you to this day. One man of you puts to flight a thousand, since it is the Lord your God who fights for you, just as he promised you. Be very careful, therefore, to love the Lord your God. For if you turn back and cling to the remnant of these nations remaining among you, and make marriages with them so that you associate with them and they with you, know for certain that the Lord your God will no longer drive out these nations before you. But they shall be a snare and a trap for you, a whip on your sides and thorns in your eyes, until you perish from off this good ground that the Lord your God has given you. And now I am about to go the way of all the earth. And you know in your hearts and souls, all of you, that not one word has failed of all the good things that the Lord your God promised concerning you. And if all have come to pass for you, not one of them has failed. But just as all the good things that the Lord your God promised concerning you have been fulfilled for you, so the Lord will bring upon you all the evil things until he has destroyed you from off this good land that the Lord your God has given you, if you transgress the covenant of the Lord your God, which he commanded you, and go and serve other gods and bow down to them. Then the anger of the Lord will be kindled against you, and you shall perish quickly from off the good land that he has given to you. Okay. You notice some repetition in there, some things he keeps saying over and over again. Let's take a couple moments. And what I'd like to do here is, there's not necessarily any wrong answer here, okay? This is not a thing to try to awe one another with what we've learned. But as we go through here, just take a couple moments and maybe look at what we read. I'm going to be quiet in a moment. And we're just going to have a couple moments to write down some things that Joshua exhorts them. What does he tell them to do? What does he tell them to not do? What does he bring up in this passage, in this scripture, to remind them of or to encourage them to keep doing? And maybe perhaps even some things, you think of some things we've heard before in this book that he mentions. But just jot down a couple things or whatever God lays in your heart. And I'd love to hear those from you, and I'll repeat them so folks can hear. And then I also want to, you know, help us understand this clearly. So I'm going to stop talking. Just take a couple minutes. I know that's hard for me. You guys know that. He always wants to talk. But one thing that helped me as I went through this is almost how would I reword this in my own words, even if I was saying this to somebody. So I'll be quiet for a couple more minutes. I know you're laughing. You can't just shut up. Just be quiet. I did fail to mention on the backside too, there's a section for observations. So feel free to go on the backside as well if there's some things that, okay, this is some things I think would be good for me to walk away with, or implications or application or prayer requests that we can pray for one another in light of what this passage says. So All right, while you're still filling things in, I'll just say a couple things. We don't know exactly where this meeting took place. It may have taken place at Shiloh, where the tabernacle was. That seems to be the most likely spot, as many times when there was a solemn meeting or a special meeting, it would happen at Shiloh. You remember that's right in the middle on the maps we had a couple weeks ago, right in the middle of the land of Israel and up on a hill on the mountain area. So it could be that's where it is. We know in chapter 24 they meet at Shechem, and we know that. But here we don't know exactly where they're meeting. But also I would say in verse 2 it says Joshua summoned all Israel. And it's almost like, as we look at the grammar, that it seems it's almost like there would be a dash there. All Israel, but specifically in Israel, its elders, its heads, its judges, and its officers. When we get to chapter 24, we see that all of these men who were leaders in the nation, they're standing with Joshua as he speaks to the entire nation. But it seems here that he's speaking specifically to the leaders. All right. No wrong answer, and what are some things that you see Joshua exhorting or reminding them of or simply saying? And I know it's a little different, but if someone starts, we'll start going back and forth. Just raise your hand, I'll call on you, and I'll repeat what you say so we can all hear it as well. But what is one thing that jumped out to you that Joshua is exhorting them or reminding or telling them? Yes, Caleb.
To possess the land that God's given them.
Okay, so to keep going forward. He says keep going forward and possessing the land that God has given you, okay? Because there was still some land that needed to still be conquered. So possess the land. Good. Larry and then Jay. Okay. He talked about being sure that they separated from those nations that were not godly and not letting their influence, evil influence, influence them. So separation. That's a biblical principle we see already here. Jay. Okay, make sure that you follow what was written in the book of the law of Moses. That's important because ultimately, whose word is it? It's God's word that he gave to them who Moses was led by God to write down. But make sure you follow God's word. Good. What else? Okay.
Cling to the Lord.
Oh, that's a powerful phrase. Cling to the Lord. Wow, very good. Nadine. That's good. So Nadine was saying how he continues to make the point very clear that the Lord is the one who fought for them. Okay, they didn't just come up with a great, you know, they didn't make the walls of Jericho fall down. Think of all the things that we see in Jericho. The Lord fought for you, so don't think that you did it. And he repeats that throughout this. Good. Yes, Margaret.
He reminded Israel.
Wonderful. So he reminded them of how God's blessed them. And, you know, that should promote what? Thankfulness, right? And trust. So God's past blessings. Very good. What else? And you can go a second time. It's okay. Caleb. Okay, good. So God has fought for you, and he'll keep fighting for you if you obey him. Very good. So there's a promise there. Okay, was it Jay? Yeah.
They will become a snare to you, and then he won't drive them out.
Okay. So going on with that idea of separation, he says, here's why I don't want you to cling. And he uses that same word, don't cling to those remnants of nations. It's a very interesting phrase. Just like Kay was saying, he said, cling to the Lord. But don't cling to the remnants, the pieces of these nations that are left. Okay, because they will lead you astray. They will be a snare to you. Nadine.
Mm-hmm.
So he laid out the reality that there will be bad consequences if they disobey God, you know, and so he doesn't hide that fact from them, okay? He wants them, it's almost like a warning, it is a warning. There's consequences, and he spends time in the last four verses specifically, and he kind of repeats that as well. Going on with that, what had Joshua experienced in his life? And Caleb. Remember those two men, Joshua and Caleb? What did they experience? What are some things that they experienced in their life? Well, they made the exodus out of Egypt. Okay, they took that long journey. But remember, Joshua and Caleb, back in the book of Numbers, I think it's chapter 31, 32, it talks about how they were selected to go spy out the land with 10 other men, one from each of the 12 tribes of Israel. And they came into the promised land, and they spied it out, and they came back with their report. And remember how Joshua and Caleb said, "Let's go forward. There's a lot of scary stuff in there, but God's going to fight for us. He's going to help us." Remember the other 10? They said, "No, we can't do that. God's not going to fight for us. We can't do that." And they caused an evil report. Remember, what was the punishment? What did God have happen for the next 40 years? Do you remember? Wandering and death in the wilderness. He said, "Everyone, because you doubted me, because you didn't have faith in me, Joshua and Caleb get to live, but everyone who is 20 years and or 21 and up are going to die in these 40 years. Hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people." Joshua had seen the consequences vividly over 40 years of wandering and death. And some of these people had as well, as they would have been below the threshold of 21. And he says, God keeps his word, so there are consequences. Let's trust the Lord. We've seen blessings. We have seen also consequences. But Joshua had seen probably more than really a lot of these other people because he was there for the whole time. But anyway, okay, what else? Sorry, I didn't mean to keep it up. Ben. That's very good. So Ben was saying in verse 6, it talks about be very strong to keep the book of the law of God, and then be very careful later on to obey the Lord. Look at verse 6, and he says, "Be strong to keep and do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, turning aside neither from the right hand to the left." Have we heard that anywhere before in this book? Where have we heard that before? Chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. Let's turn back to chapter 1 real quick. Okay? Because basically what Joshua's saying here is, you need to do what God told me to do. You need to do what God told me to do when we were first coming into the land. And maybe we've memorized these, but look at chapter 1 and actually look at verse 6. We'll start there. He says, God says to Joshua, "Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." Verse 9 goes, "Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be frightened, do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." One element here that we don't sense, but in this chapter, we don't hear a response from the leaders, do we? We just hear Joshua speaking. But when they knew the time would come one day when he would die. And when you have a leader like Moses, when he passed off the scene, it was a big deal for the nation. Now Joshua's passing off the scene. Did you notice one thing in here that he does not mention about who's going to take over after him? No one's mentioned. When Moses died, even before Moses died, God said, Joshua's going to be the next leader. He's going to lead you into the land, and I'll bless you. Here, there's no mention of who's leading. There's a reason for that. We'll get to chapter 24. God's going to be their leader. They're in the land. He's going to keep fighting for them, but God is their king. God is their Lord. They don't need a human person guiding them through a wilderness anymore. But anyway, it could have been a scary time for a lot of these guys too, and some uncertainty. Joshua, man, he's been our leader all these years. And now he's passing off the scene. Okay, that's good. So he calls back to things that had happened before. Jay.
I have made with you, and turn back and you worship other gods, I'm going to take this land from you.
Exactly. You know, think forward, sadly, but all the way, as the men have been going through Hosea and the minor prophets. And these minor prophets were a lot closer, and some of them were on the other side of the land being taken away from Israel many years later because they had forsaken the Lord in their living. They had worshipped idols. And so you even see here, God saying from the very early on, and even before this to Moses, and even before that, let's go back to the garden, as we were talking in Bible study. If you obey my word, you'll be blessed. But if you disobey, there will be hard consequences. So he repeats that again, but he says it very carefully. It's a covenant. It's a covenant that God has made with you, and you have agreed to this covenant. So keep your agreement with the Lord. Good. You guys are hitting all the things that I had down here. Any others that you see in here? Do you think Joshua is just kind of starting to lose his mind a little bit by repeating things? And saying it again, repeating it, and then saying it again, repeating it. I tend to do that at times, and Sarah's like, you just said that. Oh, okay, sorry. I don't think this is him losing his mind. This is how you make something very, very important in Hebrew teaching and Hebrew literature, and really old Eastern literature. You repeat it over and over. There's one of the commentaries I read sees three different calls in this chapter. One, verses 1 through 8, his first call to covenant obedience is according to Woodstra in his commentary. And then he sees a second call starting again in verses 9 through 13. And you see, for the Lord has driven out for you. Well, he already said that before. He's saying it again, and he starts this little series, verses 9 through 13. Again, be careful. Don't turn back. Okay, and then verse 14, he repeats again, I'm old. I'm about to go to the way of the earth. He just said that. It's like he's repeating it again, condensing it again. Three different times, repeating similar things, each time with maybe a little different angle or a little different detail, but really repeating, I'm going, you're staying. God's not going anywhere, though. That's his encouragement. God's not going anywhere. He's still going to fight for you, but he'll only fight for you if you will trust and obey him. So that is a theme. Any other thoughts in here? I think we've covered a lot of them, but maybe there's something else or another interesting like a phrase or a question. Maybe you have a question about this as we go through. These are really good observations we've been making. And this is what we can do anytime we come to any passage of God's Word. Maybe some are shorter. Maybe it's one verse, whatever. But pick apart, what is the passage saying? What is going on here? What is the exhortation? Any other comments? This has been great. Or questions? Careful, it's like an auction. If you scratch your ear, I'm like, oh, no. Look at verse 6 through 11. Maybe we'll go this, and then we'll just look at some observations and implications. But you must, in verse 6, we read this before, be very strong to keep and do all that is written. Don't turn aside from the left to the right. Okay, that's a beautiful picture, right? Keep the straight and narrow. You know, don't go off on a tangent to the right or a tangent to the left. Just focus on what God's called you to do. Keep a clear focus. And I think what, as I said before, what he's doing here is saying, hey, you need to do what God told me to do. And he's not pumping himself up in their eyes, but it basically is saying, this is what I've done, and look what God's done for us. You can do the same, and you've been doing that already, so keep it up. Look at verse 8. You shall cling to the Lord your God, just as you have done this day. It's a powerful picture of something clinging. Last night I was trying to work on our dryer. It hasn't been working well, and I didn't get it fixed, but, you know, there's help on the way through our home warranty and all that. But that lint was clinging to everything. And, you know, I even got, like, some wet wipes trying to clean it up. But that stuff, it just clings. It's got that bond. It just clinged everywhere. And I thought I cleaned, vacuumed up everything, and then I looked, and, oh, it was all over the sink and all the stuff where it was. Like, man, this stuff's clinging to everything. It just won't stop. Well, that's a negative side. What God is saying here is, cling to me. Hold on to me. It's like the picture of a little child and they're being held by their parent. They're just holding on. You ever have a little child and it's time to set them down and they're just like, no, I want to hold on, and they wrap over everything. The picture is, cling to the God. Focus on him, but don't cling to these other false nations, these other evil nations. And in verse 9, he says, oh, I'm sorry, verse 8, you shall cling, for the Lord has done these things for you. Look at verse 11. Be very careful, therefore, to love the Lord your God. Hold your hand here. Let's turn back to Deuteronomy chapter 6 real quick. Because Deuteronomy 6 is one of the foundational commands in all the law of Moses, which really everything hinges on this command that we see in Deuteronomy 6. And Joshua is more than likely hearkening back to this command. It's what the Jewish people refer to as the Shema, which is the Hebrew word for hear. Okay? Hear, O Israel. Look, if you would, in chapter 3. I'm sorry, chapter 6. I'm sorry, chapter 6, verse 4. Got to get my thoughts right here. Sorry. Deuteronomy 6, verse 4. Hear. That's the word Shema. Shema, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. These words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand. They shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Then notice verse 10. And when the Lord your God brings you into the land that he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to give you, with great and good cities that you did not build, and houses full of all good things that you did not fill, cisterns that you did not dig, and vineyards and olive trees that you did not plant, and when you eat and are full, then take care lest you forget the Lord, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. It is the Lord your God you shall fear. Him you shall serve, and by his name you shall swear. You shall not go after other gods, the gods of the peoples who are around you. For the Lord your God in your midst is a jealous God, lest the anger of the Lord your God be kindled against you, and he destroy you from the face of the earth. And it goes on to talk about how we can pass this on to their children. I believe when, coming back to Joshua now, chapter 23, verse 11, be very careful to love the Lord your God. I believe he's hearkening back to this reality. And now they're adding more things to remember. Not just God taking us out of Egypt. Look what he's done. And he rehearses. God's fought for you. He's given you this land, the land that he promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It's yours now. You're in the land. Don't stop loving God. Don't forget him. And don't swear or go after, make your life centered around any of these false gods. So what are some observations, some applications, some implications? I've got a couple to share, and then I want to hear if there's any from you. But we talked about how that one observation I would say, we kind of mentioned this, is the last two chapters, chapter 23 and 24, are very similar to the beginning. And we mentioned that already. Remember the exhortations God gave to Joshua? Be strong, be courageous, don't go to the right or left. That's what's happening here at the end. So as one commentator says, that almost they make like a frame for a beautiful picture. Bookends, reminding us, follow the word of God. Don't veer to the left or right. And also I would just say, this serves, really, chapter 23, as like a last will and testament. Think of what words that you might share with your family or your loved ones, or even your church family, if God made it clear that today is your last day on earth, and then he's going to call you home to heaven. What do you think you would say? What do you think you would share with your church family? These are some of Joshua's last words. And he wanted to say, yes, Larry. That's a really good observation. Larry's just commenting on how timeless these exhortations are. The principles, they last for all eternity, whether they were thousands of years ago or today or thousands of years from now, it's the same principles. Love God, trust his word, obey him. And why do you think that is? Go ahead. Thank you for sharing that. I mean, that's, you know, we see the command here even to make sure that when you make such an important covenant as marriage, it needs to be with a worshiper of the true God, not someone who is wishy-washy or someone in this case who was totally against God. So that's a good reminder, a good principle, and making sure that we make good friendships, relationships. And one thing, Larry, I'm glad you brought this up. Some people look at this and they say, they might think, oh, man, that doesn't sound like a loving God. You're just not focusing on these other people? Why not tell them about the love of God? Israel was to be a light to the nations. But there were some, there were many people there in the land that, remember, we looked before, God told them they are to be, God's using Israel as a form of punishment and judgment on these people because they've done atrocious things. They're doing atrocious things against God. This doesn't mean that we don't love God and love others and witness to people, but it means that we love God and obey Him. And we don't enter into close covenant relationships with people who are not worshipers of God. But very good observation. Anyone else? This is good. Any other observations or even implications for us today or applications? Yes, Jay. Praise the Lord. Take these principles and keep applying them now. Keep trusting and obeying the Lord now. Hey, let's bring this to 2021, okay? Here they have the idols. People are doing crazy stuff with these idol shrines. We could look at this and we could think, well, okay, I'm here in Middletown. I don't see someone, you know, sacrificing cows and all this stuff to a false god. I mean, is this really applicable to me today? Well, definitely is. What are some things that we have in our culture, or maybe even we know struggles that we may have, but what are some things that can trip us up from keeping our focus on trusting, obeying God today? You know, we don't have maybe the shrines, but what other kind of maybe idols or other things? What are some things around us that we need to make sure that don't distract us from pursuing God and obeying Him? What do you think? What?
Science.
Okay, we can make a god out of science. Science is a great gift that God has given us. Understand His word, but we got to keep that in perspective. Yeah, definitely. What else? Sports. You have another S because he's alliterated. Science, sports, no. but, you know, good things, but if anything, a good thing becomes higher than God, then it's no longer a good thing, is it? It becomes an idol. What really is an idol when you think about it? Because those idols were just wood, right? Stone, maybe iron when they got to that point. But why would God's, what was the problem? They were worshiping that rather than worshiping the Creator. What are some things that fight for our worship today? Maybe it is science. Maybe it is sports. Oh, yeah, social media. Social media. I mean, it's big. Time. Just the time involved in that, or even we can get involved in something or a discussion or a keyboard war we hear or something like that. And if we're not careful, social media, which can be a good tool, can become an idol. What did you say, Charlie? Money. Okay, money's a big one, right? I mean, money is a gift that God, a tool that we use. But what is the root of all evil, Scripture says? The love of money. We could say the worship of money. Asher?
Video games.
Video games could be a snare if we let them get above us. That's important. You know, it's important for all of us, all ages, because the devil is so sneaky that he will take even one of the best things that we have that God has given us and use it to try to trip us up and make it higher than it should be in our lives. I mean, family could be one, right? Family. I mean, praise God for our families, but we have to please God rather than men ultimately, right? And that's important. So I think we're aware of these kind of things. How about a building? You know, sometimes you see some believers who get so enamored with the beauty of a building that pretty soon the building that our previous ministry acquired, I remember when we were looking to purchase that facility, there were people selling it, ready to sell it, but they were weeping because they were just so sad that this building was going. I said, we love this building. I kept going over and over and over, and it was one of those, we understand there's a lot of memories here, a lot of that ever, but there were other people that came to us and said, yeah, there came a point in the ministry where everyone got really into the building, and we got kind of sidetracked. I mean, they put a beautiful organ in, they put beautiful stuff, it's a beautiful building that we're at Harvest, but it became an obsession with the building rather than people and the community, and pretty soon, there was nobody in that building anymore. And they had to sell. And so I'm not trying to cast stones on that, but anything can become, it can sidetrack. It's a good gift that God gives. If we're not careful, we could be like the Israelites and get distracted. We can forget why we have these good things. Was there some other, was it Larry and Jay? Larry, yep. So a danger is social acceptance, right? What other people think of us. I mean, that's a big one, isn't it? Really, the fear of man or wanting to be respected by others to the point of ignoring what God says. That's a big one. Jay. So really, it could be anything out there. Now, I don't say this to scare us, because what does Scripture say? Greater is he that is in you than he that is in this world deceiving people. As we saw this morning, Christ has saved us from the domain of darkness and death, but it doesn't mean that we still don't struggle and can be tempted to sin, because we are still have that sin nature that one day will be taken away when we go to heaven to be with the Lord. But until that time, we wouldn't need to cling to the Lord. I think that's a wonderful way to look at this, but just keep clinging to the Lord. And the good news is that these men would cling to the Lord. At the end of chapter 24, not to steal our thunder from next time, but they do. They cling to the Lord all the days that they lived. And then you get the judges. And the next generation didn't. See, we have a responsibility, I think, here too, to ourselves cling to the Lord, but also raise our family, encourage our family, encourage our church family to keep clinging to the Lord and following him. And so one implication I see from this, and be reminded, is that God will always keep his word. He will always keep his word to bless us when we obey and to punish or curse those who are faithless. And so may God help us to be faithful in that way. It's a timeless truth, as Larry was saying. Timeless truths. And at the end of the day, one day, by God's grace, if we know Christ, we'll stand before him and we'll hear, well done. We'll bow before him. We'll hear, well done. Good, and what's the word? Faithful servant. Joshua saying, guys, be faithful. Be faithful. Had Joshua made mistakes in his life? Oh, yes. Remember, we read some of those. But there was a faithfulness that overwhelmed him in that way. How can we pray for one another? And then we'll close in prayer and we'll have a song. But how can we pray for one another in this way? What are some ways, maybe even for you, how can we pray for one another to help us to be faithful, to cling to the Lord? What are some ways that ways we should pray for each other in that way. I mean, be faithful is one, but can you think of some specific ways we could pray? I mean, think of all the things we mentioned. What do you think? Pray that with all the blessings that God has given us. I mean, God continues to bless our own families. He blesses Open Door Bible Church. As God continues to bless, may we not forget him and see the blessings for something that perhaps we may have done. Remember, we just read that even in Deuteronomy. When you come into a land with cities you didn't build that God gives you, vineyards that you didn't plant that God gives you, all these blessings, be very careful you don't forget the Lord. May we not forget the Lord with all the blessings he gives. Wonderful. Anything else? Any ways we can pray? Nadine. Let's pray that God would help us to remain focused, not distracted by whatever the world would like to throw at us, circumstances, different things, that we would remain faithful and not distracted. And I think I really like how you said that, because what does he say? What causes someone to veer to the right or to the left? They're going straight for God, and all of a sudden, they get distracted. Oh, but there's this life-jarring circumstance, and it could be a very real, powerful, hard thing. But if we only focus on the circumstance rather than on the God who is going to guide us through this, we can go off tangent a little bit, or we could go to the right or to the left. We should pray that we will not be distracted by the circumstances that come around us. We'll be unified as a body, just like God wanted his nation of Israel to be unified together. That's great. Unified around what matters. These are good. Anyone else? And then we'll pray. If not, I don't want to leave someone out if they had something they wanted to share. Okay. Well, thank you for participating. A little different tonight, but I wanted us to kind of walk through the text together too to see how we can glean, even as we meditate on God's word throughout the week. Write notes, take notes, and go through that. And let's close in prayer, and then we'll close with a song. Our Heavenly Father, I thank you for our time tonight in your word. Thank you, Lord, that these timeless truths are timeless because it's your word. You never change. You are God, and you change not. We thank you, Lord, that you are faithful. Thank you for how you've blessed us. Thank you for how you've strengthened us even today. And as we begin a new week, we thank you that we've been able to realign our hearts and our focuses on your truth. We've been able, by your Spirit, to glean rich truths from your word that we can apply to our lives. I pray that you would help us to be thankful for all the many blessings you've given us in Christ, the blessings materially that you've blessed us with, physically. But I pray, as Ben was saying, God, that you'd help us to not forget you in the midst of all these blessings, but be ever thanking you, praising you for the blessings you give, and pursuing after you. I pray also that you'd help us to not get distracted. There are going to be circumstances, God, this week that are going to desire to distract us, that the devil would like to use to get us off focus. Father, help us with the busyness of a week, the ministry opportunities that come this week, that we would keep our eyes on Christ and not be distracted to the right or the left, but that we'd follow faithfully after you. Thank you that you've promised to help us. Thankful that you've promised through your Holy Spirit to guide us. May we walk in step with your Spirit and not follow the works of the flesh. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.